This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com.
This is the Premier League Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, between 1 and 2 o'clock. Coming up over the next hour, we'll be previewing all of the Premier League action to come in midweek. We've got a couple of fixtures tonight, 6 tomorrow night, and then 2 on Thursday. So plenty of Premier League action to look forward to over the next couple of nights on Amazon Prime. How will that experiment work out, not just over these next 3 days, but obviously just after Christmas on the Boxing Day fixtures? We'll be previewing a few of those games. We'll be getting the Bournemouth perspective in this hour. They travel to Crystal Palace tonight. We'll also be talking a bit about Manchester City and Burnley as they face off at Turf Moor tonight. We'll also be talking a little bit about Manchester United, as well as the third round draw for the FA Cup. If you want to get in touch with us this afternoon, call us on 0208 7020 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp. This is the Premier League Fan Show here on Love Sport. So, as I said, that number again, 0208 7020 558. If you want to get in touch with us this afternoon, we want to hear your views on your Premier League club, whether you're playing tonight, tomorrow night, or on Thursday night. Make sure you get in contact with us this afternoon here at Love Sport Radio here on the Premier League Fan Show. Let's go through the fixtures then that are coming up over the next few evenings. We are spoilt, really, with a number of games to look forward to in midweek. We've got two fixtures in the Premier League tonight. One is a 7:30 kickoff, the other is 8:15. Crystal Palace host Bournemouth at Selhurst Park. That's the earlier kickoff tonight. And then the other one is at Turf Moor, where, as I mentioned, Burnley are taking on third-placed Manchester City. We then have six fixtures tomorrow night, including two huge games. One is the Merseyside derby at Anfield. Liverpool hosting Everton. Marco Silva will still be in charge for Everton in the Merseyside derby. And then at Old Trafford, Manchester United take on Tottenham. Jose Mourinho makes his return to Old Trafford. Mauricio Pochettino is lurking in the shadows, in the background behind Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, although he came out fighting this morning in his press conference to say that rumours of his job being on the line are false. So a huge game at Old Trafford. Chelsea looking to bounce back after defeat against West Ham. They host Aston Villa. West Ham themselves make the trip to Molineux to take on Wolves. There's a big game down near the bottom of the table where Southampton take on Norwich. Also, Leicester taking on Watford, who, as it stands, don't have a new manager in place. They sacked Kike Sanchez Flores on Sunday. They said they'd probably look to make an appointment within 24 hours. Well, it's 1 o'clock on Tuesday afternoon and still no new man in charge. Hayden Mullins will take temporary charge for this game, which looks like a tough one for Watford away at Leicester. And they are yet to appoint a new manager. It's believed that they are just looking for a manager to the end of the season rather than on a long-term basis, and then they will re-evaluate. And then on Thursday night, two more fixtures at Bramall Lane, Sheffield United up in seventh place. What a good job Chris Wilder is doing there. They host Newcastle, who drew 2-2 at the weekend against Manchester City. And then Arsenal at the Emirates take on Brighton. Arsenal still no new manager in there. Freddie Ljungberg has taken interim charge, drew 2-2 away at Norwich in that first game under him as the temporary manager, and they host Brighton on Thursday evening. So spread out over the next three evenings, all available on Amazon Prime. Let's see how that works out and how these fixtures work out. Lots of different kickoffs. Some are 7:30, some are 8:15 to try and maximise, I suppose, the watching for the many millions that will certainly be tuning in over the next few evenings. Looking at some of the top stories currently in the Premier League, looking at the third round draw for the FA Cup, that took place last night at just after 7 o'clock, and some pretty significant fixtures that have been drawn. The ties, remember, will take place from the 3rd to the 6th of January, really at the end of what's a very hectic part of the season over the next 6 weeks. And the standout fixture is the Merseyside derby. I mentioned how Liverpool take on Everton at Anfield tomorrow night in the Premier League. Well, they will reconvene at Anfield only a matter of weeks later because Liverpool will host Everton in the third round of the FA Cup. Another significant all-Premier League tie sees Wolves at home against Manchester United. Wolves knocked Manchester United out of the FA Cup last season at Molineux. Just a full rundown then of all of the fixtures. Plenty to go through. So here is the draw in full. Leicester City take on Wigan. QPR will host Swansea. Fulham play Aston Villa. Chelsea are at home against Nottingham Forest. Wolves will take on Manchester United. Charlton play West Brom. Rochdale or Boston United will host Newcastle. What a big occasion that could be for Boston if they do come through that tie. Cardiff or Forest Green Rovers will take on Carlisle. Oxford United or Exeter, Oxford beat Exeter or Hartlepool. Sheffield United will host AFC Fylde. Southampton take on Huddersfield. I mentioned Liverpool versus Everton. Bristol City will play Shrewsbury. Bournemouth take on Luton. Brighton play Sheffield Wednesday. Bristol Rovers or Plymouth will play Coventry or Ipswich. Eastleigh or Crewe will take on Barnsley. Manchester City, a nice easy tie for them as per usual, at home against Port Vale. Middlesbrough will host Tottenham. Reading play Blackpool. Watford are at home against Tranmere. Preston will play Norwich. Millwall will play Newport. Crystal Palace are at home against Derby. Rotherham will take on Hull. Brentford are at home against Stoke. Fleetwood play Portsmouth. Arsenal at home against Leeds. Gillingham against West Ham. Burton Albion play Northampton. Burnley take on Peterborough. And finally, the two B's. Birmingham take on Blackburn. Oh, take a breath. All of those FA Cup third round fixtures to come between the 3rd and the 6th of January. Then on to what some of the managers have been saying in the Premier League over the last 24 to 48 hours. Pep Guardiola has held his press conference ahead of their game tonight. They travel to Turf Moor. We'll be talking more about that as the hour goes along. Pep Guardiola has said he is not looking to make any January signings. Manchester City have been linked with a number of different centre-backs. They've been linked with Ruben Dias out in Portugal with Benfica. They've been linked with the Leicester centre-back duo of Johnny Evans and Chaglar Soyuncu. But it seems unlikely that he will look to make any January signings. Also, they have been linked with a few attacking players, Mikel Oyarzabal from Real Sociedad, to potentially be a long-term replacement for Leroy Sané, who's still out injured. But Guardiola is adamant that Manchester City will be doing no business in terms of incomings in the January transfer window. And that to me, smacks of a bit of arrogance and a bit of overconfidence from Manchester City, this belief that they don't need to sign anyone. There's no doubting that Manchester City have an abundance of an array of phenomenal talent, and they've got a number of world-class players there. But it's quite clear that, yes, they don't have Aymeric Laporte available to them at the moment, and that's going to be a blow. But they've still spent a huge amount of money on that defence, and they still look so frail defensively. They've conceded more goals at this stage of the season than they have done in any of the last 10 years. So it shows that defensively they are all over the place. You saw at the weekend against Newcastle, who struggled to score goals this season. They conceded twice, and Joe Linton was causing all sorts of problems for the likes of Fernandinho. So I don't really get that. City were interested in a centre-back in the summer when they were looking at Harry Maguire but weren't willing to pay $80 million, which is, I mean, he's not worth that amount of money, and City are fully entitled and they're fully justified to not pay that sort of money. But to claim that they don't need any January signings, I think, is a bit of an oversight and a bit of arrogance being shown by Pep Guardiola. I mean, some might say, who am I to doubt Pep Guardiola when he's been such a successful manager? And, well, that's fair enough. But I just think that it's quite evident to everyone how frail City are defensively. And they do need another centre-back, if not two. And yet Guardiola is indicating that he doesn't need another defender. Laporte may be back toward at the beginning of next year, but it's still going to be a while until he's fully back up to speed after a serious injury. You're not just simply going to come back into training and start playing straight away. It's going to be a case of training for a number of weeks before you then get back into the first team fold, before you're even considered for selection. And then it's going to be a gradual process to get in. So even though Aymeric Laporte might return to training at the beginning of next month, it may still be a long time after that until he's actually playing regularly. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer held his press conference this morning ahead of a big game at Old Trafford tomorrow, where Manchester United take on Tottenham. Jose Mourinho is returning to Old Trafford for the first time as a manager of a different club. He's already said that Paul Pogba will not be available for tomorrow night's game. There have been lots of rumours suggesting or wondering how injured Paul Pogba has actually been and whether he's just eyeing up a January move. But Ole Gunnar Solskjaer became particularly prickly when he was asked about his future. And there were some sources that have claimed that with Tottenham coming up tonight, sorry, tomorrow night, and then Manchester City on the weekend, that if these next two results don't go well, then Ole Gunnar Solskjaer will lose his job. He rejected these blatant lies regarding his future. He said that there have been these sources claiming certain things about his future. Well, that's just kind of rubbish, is effectively what he was saying. I don't think it is rubbish. The fact of the matter is Manchester United should never have appointed Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, but that's, I suppose, beside the point now that we're months down the line from that. And there's no doubt that Mauricio Pochettino's availability now will certainly hinder Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's position. We've seen over the last couple of weeks, Tottenham sat their manager, they sacked Pochettino, and then they replaced him with Mourinho. They acted quickly. Arsenal have a vacancy, having sacked Unai Emery, that we were wondering why there weren't many movement. There wasn't much movement in the manager merry-go-round in the early parts of the season, but it felt like it was just waiting for that domino effect, and that was started by Tottenham's decision to sack Mauricio Pochettino. And his availability and the fact that Manchester United don't need to pay a huge amount of money to get him out of Tottenham, pay huge a number of millions in compensation, that will lure Pochettino to Manchester United. It's believed that Pochettino is very keen on the job. He did say that he wanted to spend a whole year off and have a long sabbatical, which seems to be the modern way in football at the moment. We've seen Pep Guardiola do it. We saw Jurgen Klopp for a few months seem like he was going to go and spend a year after leaving Dortmund, but obviously was then took over at Liverpool in October of 2015. Massimiliano Allegri is currently on a sabbatical. I think it's something that we'll see more and more in Premier League or in modern football nowadays. But Pochettino has now said that he has declared that he's ready to make a quick return to management, which I'm certain will put a number of clubs, Bayern Munich over in Germany, Arsenal have been linked with him quite heavily, and that might force Manchester United's hand. There is no doubt that they will be looking at someone like Pochettino to replace Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. You look at the position that Manchester United currently hold in the Premier League table, and these two huge games against Tottenham tomorrow night at Old Trafford, and then travelling to the Etihad on Saturday evening to take on Manchester City. The pressure is most certainly ramping up on Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. He will be looking over his shoulders. If someone wasn't fearful of losing their job, they wouldn't be talking about rumours and sources and lots of people talking about his position. He would simply be focused on himself and wouldn't be worried. But the fact that he's had to come out and say these sorts of things to talk about Mauricio Pochettino and talk about these rumours shows that he is a little bit scared. And I think the fact that other clubs have started to act and that Pochettino is now available, I think will force Manchester United's hands. And I think it could be very, very shortly that Ole Gunnar Solskjaer loses his job. And I said it from the start of the season. I thought Pochettino to Manchester United seems like a very likely thing to happen. And I think it's only getting more and more likely. What's your view on that? Do you think Pochettino will end up at Manchester United? Is it a good move for Mauricio Pochettino? Or should he be looking at jobs like Bayern Munich or Real Madrid or PSG? Call us on 0208 7020 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp. We'll be back after this.
Love Sport.
This is the Premier League Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, up until 2 o'clock this afternoon. If you want to get in touch with us, make sure you call us on 0208 7020 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp. So make sure you call us, get in contact with us, share your views on your Premier League club. Plenty of manager watch at the moment. Arsenal without a manager, Watford without a manager, Everton, Manchester United on the verge seemingly of sacking their managers. So it is definitely manager watch time of the season. Some people concentrating more on matters off the field than they are on the field at the moment. There are two games coming up in the Premier League tonight. Crystal Palace host Bournemouth. Will be talking about the Cherries in about 10 or 15 minutes' time. The other game is at Turf Moor. Burnley take on Manchester City. Pep Guardiola's side dropping points again at the weekend away at Newcastle. City then back in action at Sean Dyche's Burnley this evening. Earlier on the Martin Bell show, Martin was joined by the Manchester City correspondent for Goal, Jonathan Smith. They were talking about both Manchester clubs ahead of United's big game against Tottenham tomorrow evening, talking about Manchester City's game tonight. And Martin started by asking Jonathan about what's gone wrong for City.
Yeah, well, I think there's one major cog missing, which is Laporte. Injury has been a huge blow. It's had a big impact. But also, you bear in mind, Vincent Kompany left at the end of last season. those two got them through to the end of the season. That winning run of 14 games, to miss them both has been huge. And yeah, just defensively, they just don't look at it compared to what they have been, conceded in the last seven games. And you go back to that Newcastle game on Saturday, I think they held the lead for about something like 8 minutes. You know, they took the lead twice and each time quickly conceded an equaliser. And it's just not what we expect from a Guardiola team at the moment.
No, it's a strike, absolutely still amazing going forward, but just haven't got that. I'm just wondering whether he looked at it more this year and thought, we can't win the Prem, we'll concentrate on the Champions League.
I think it's getting to that stage now. The thing with the Champions League is it doesn't start again until February, so they've got nothing to lose to go for it in the Premier League over the next couple of months. Go try and put together another winning run and see where it takes them. It's really up to Liverpool now, isn't it? They've got to go on a bit of a bad run of form. A couple of games, two or three games without a win, and suddenly, you know, that gap could be cut back down to 5 or 6 points. The problem is you just don't see Liverpool doing that at the moment where they're playing.
I'm just thinking, you know, jury's still out for me on the likes of John Stones. Who do you think he'll be looking at if he can bring players in January?
Well, he said at the press conference yesterday that he's got no intention of bringing anyone in January, which is perhaps a bit surprising with the defensive issues. He was talking up Fernandinho, saying that he's sort of his main centre half, which I think he's been a big loss in the centre of midfield. On top of that, not only are they short in defence, they missed him in midfield. Rodri's come in and he's done okay, but he's not Fernandinho. I think the big hope is that when the Champions League restarts in February, that Laporte is fully fit, 100% fit. Stones has got some of that confidence back, and that those two can do it and finally make an impact in Europe.
Obviously, the Manchester Derby this weekend. how we think that's going to go?
Oh, well, I mean, if City are in problems, United are even worse, aren't they? You've got to think that City will go into that huge confidence. I mean, it'd be interesting how it goes on Wednesday, Mourinho back at Old Trafford. If they suffer a defeat in that, then Ollie's really under big pressure. And, you know, for all City's problems, they're still going to be huge favourites going into that game.
I mean, if they lose to Spurs and lose to City, you think that'd be the end for Ollie?
Well, I mean, the talk coming out of United is that he's safe in his job. They've got no intention of looking at it. But, you know, the fans are... The United fans are always very supportive of their manager. But, you know, that Premier League table so tight, a couple of defeats, and they're going to be really... they're going to be sort of halfway down the bottom half of the table. It's Manchester United. I don't see how that can be acceptable. So I just think the pressure's going to grow and grow. These are two big games for him coming up.
I said the other day that, you know, looking at Manchester United, the way they play, there was a great thing on Match of the Day, obviously, about Wan-Mata, the movement that he has. You know, he's sort of darting in and out, into sort of little alleyways and back in, you know. And when you look at the other two, you look at Martial and Rashford, they're so stagnant. You know, they're almost like they're better off on a wing, cutting in and cutting in with a ball, but there's no real out-and-out centre-forward there, is there?
No, I thought it was a strange decision to let Lukaku go. I know he was having problems, but they just don't have that striker. And I think the ironic thing about Martial and Rashford is that they would be much better off across the road at City, where they could learn from someone like Guardiola, who could teach them everything that they need to know. Because they've got the talent, there's no doubt about that. They just need a bit of coaching. And you see the way that Raheem Sterling is improved hugely into one of the best players in the world under Pep. I think Rashford and Martial would be even better, but they're just, like you said, they're just stagnating at Old Trafford. And, you know, Rashford sort of came onto the scene as this fantastic teenager. Well, that was a few seasons ago, and he's not that much better, really.
No. I mean, he had a decent spell when he looked so sort of lax, really. I went to the West Ham Man United game, and he Declan Rice caught him up with about sort of 3 or 4 yards to spare and closed him down. And I was so surprised. But then when he broke for the England meet-up, he seemed to, it reignited him. He started taking players on, started hitting the ball with a bit of dip, and then goes back to Man United and he looked like a new player again. But just, I think the last two games, I've just sort of seen it drifting back to where it was.
Yeah, I think with England, I think Southgate is trying to take that squad forward. And I think he's watching City, Liverpool, Spurs and Pochettino and seeing what's working for those players, speaking to the managers, speaking to the coaches, and seeing how he can get the best out of them for England. And I think Rashford looks a little bit happier when he's with yes. England. And I just when you look at the players around him, you know, when you see the City goals, there's a plan. You can see the players are moving. They know what they want to do. And United goals are more luck than judgment. You know, it's a piece of magic or a cross that just, you know, hits the right areas.
It doesn't seem like there's an absolute plan. Just going back to City, how much will City feel the absence of Aguero?
Yeah, it's a big blow, isn't it? He's been the best striker in the Premier League for the last 10 years. It's very difficult to get past that. But, you know, Gabriel Jesus has done okay for the last 2 years. He's still a young striker, still 22. But now is the time to say, right, I'm ready to take over the mantle from Aguero because, you know, Aguero's getting older now and City have really got to think about their long-term successor. He's been undoubtedly the top striker. Maybe this summer, maybe another summer to go, they will make a big signing to replace him. But it's up to Jesus to say, well, I'm the first choice. You sign a backup for me. Mm. He's not quite done that yet. So this is a chance for him now. He's got a couple of weeks as the undoubted first choice striker. Go into the derby, score a couple of goals, and carry them through and show what he can do. He's the Brazil's first choice striker. You don't get to do that if you haven't got anything about you.
No, without a doubt. I'm just looking at they've got United, Arsenal. That's an easy one. they got Man United, Arsenal, and then Leicester, who are just on fire. So it's a tough month for Man City, really.
Yeah, that's right. They really messed up in the early part of the season, dropping points in games that you would expect them to win comfortably. You know, the Norwich away, Wolves at home, losing both of those. And then, you know, the Liverpool game kind of could have gone two ways. They didn't play that badly, but obviously ended up losing. So, they're under huge pressure, these games. Leicester possibly the most entertaining team in the Premier League to watch at the moment.
The tempo that they play. I mean, the fact is, you know, Vardy a few years ago, you would have said, well, yeah, listen, he's ridiculously quick and just knows where the net is. But he doesn't seem to be fading. He seems to be getting better.
Yeah, it's extraordinary, isn't it? But Brendan's really given them a lease of life. I think he's a fantastic manager. You could see it at the back end of last season when he came in. The improvement, and it's brilliant to see them doing so well this season. It'd be great to see them really go for it, keep it going until the end of the season, and because the way it's going, there isn't going to be a title race between Liverpool and City the way City have dropped off. So it's kind of up to Leicester to put the pressure on Liverpool, I think.
That was the Manchester City correspondent for Goal, Jonathan Smith, who joined Martin on his show. Remember, you can listen to the Martin Bell Show every weekday morning between 10 and 12 o'clock. So make sure you stay tuned. So obviously talking a bit about both Manchester clubs, Manchester United. We mentioned how Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, I think, is feeling the pressure ahead of a big game at Old Trafford tomorrow night against Jose Mourinho's Tottenham. And for Manchester City, they drop points at the weekend away at Newcastle. They'll be looking to get back to winning ways tonight, but a tough game at Turf Moor. They take on Sean Dyche's Burnley. It's a 8:15 kickoff, so don't forget, it's not normal 7:45 or even 8. We have a 7:30 kickoff, Crystal Palace Bournemouth, and then 8:15 is the time that the Burnley Manchester City game kicks off. So not going to be easy, always tight affairs there. If you remember last season, Sergio Aguero scored the winner and it went millimetres over the line. So it's sure to be a tough game for Manchester City, but they are a pretty good side. They've got 198 points over the last two seasons. So we know how good a side they are. And they usually bounce back from defeats with an emphatic performance. So maybe Burnley might not be delighted that Manchester City dropped points on the weekend. But certainly an interesting game in store at Turf Moor. I think we know how the game's going to go. I think Manchester City are going to be dominating possession, to say the least. But it isn't going to be easy. Remember, if you want to get in touch, call us on 0208 7020 558 or WhatsApp us on that very same number. I mentioned the other game tonight. It is at Selhurst Park at 7:30. It is Crystal Palace against Bournemouth. We'll be getting the Cherries perspective next.
This is Love Sport.
This is the Premier League Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, up until 2 o'clock this afternoon. We're going to be talking about some of tonight's games coming up. Firstly, let's talk a bit about the Ballon d'Or. Obviously, the ceremony took place in Paris at the Théâtre du Châtelet in Paris last night. So a pretty good evening. I think it's just a way of increasing footballers' egos, if we're being brutally honest. But it did take place last night, and for a sixth time, Lionel Messi won the Ballon d'Or. He had a pretty remarkable season, but maybe people will say I've got my red-tinted spectacles on, but I did feel like it was Virgil van Dijk's year. Lionel Messi is, in my view, the greatest player that's ever played football, but I thought, based on the season that Van Dijk's had, he's the best defender in the world, won the Champions League, part of a Liverpool side that's unbeaten in 31 Premier League games. I thought he deserved that. Just a rundown of the top 10. Messi finished first, Virgil van Dijk in second, Cristiano Ronaldo was third, Sadio Mane and Mohamed Salah, the Liverpool duo, fourth and fifth, Kylian Mbappe sixth, Alisson was seventh, Robert Lewandowski eighth, Bernardo Silva in ninth, and Riyad Mahrez in 10th. Obviously, the Yashin Trophy was also awarded for the very first time. That went to Alisson. And the Copa Trophy, the best player under 21, was Matthias de Ligt. And the women's Ballon d'Or winner was Megan Rapinoe. Let's turn our attention back into some of the Premier League games. We've talked a bit about Burnley's game against Manchester City. Let's talk about the other game tonight at 7:30. Crystal Palace take on Bournemouth at Selhurst Park. To get the away perspective now, I'm delighted to say we're joined by Peter Rutzler, Bournemouth reporter for The Athletic. Thank you so much for your time this afternoon, Peter. Bournemouth have gone on a bit of a patchy run. They've lost their last three games, a 3-2 defeat away at Tottenham, although they were actually quite close to the end to drawing that game late on. What have you made of the recent slump in form? Is it something that Bournemouth fans will be getting a bit worried about, or are there other things to take into account that mean that it's not as worrying as maybe the statistics say?
Hello, mate. Yeah, I mean, it's a tricky one. I think actually in all competitions, it's about 1-9. And that one win was the win over Manchester United. So in general, it's starting to become a little bit concerning. And it's mainly because of the fixtures at the moment. Obviously, tonight, Palace away is a game that, you know, that they want to get points from, but it's not an easy place to go. Then it's Liverpool on Saturday, and then Chelsea away the week after that, and then Burnley and Arsenal. So there's the potential for it to snowball a little bit, and I think that's the main concern. But as you said about the Tottenham game, as with many games this season with Bournemouth, actually, there were signs of, you know, real positive play, especially in the first half. It didn't feel like there was too much difference between the two teams, and then they conceded a very poor goal on direct ball from Toby Alderweireld, who then did it again in the second half. So I think that the concern is certainly that there's been a lack of consistency. They're not picking up the points that they were. I think back to September was a good month where, while performances weren't overly good, they were still picking up points. October, there weren't any goals. And then now, then just not picking up results. So tonight is actually very, very important, just on the basis of the fixtures that are to come and the run they've been on. And if they can get a positive result, at least take something, that should keep them in good stead, because I think the most concerning thing is taking a confidence hit.
Bournemouth manager Eddie Howe's name has been mentioned with a number of different clubs. He's been linked very tentatively with the Arsenal job, perhaps more so with the Everton job. And we saw 12 months ago with Marco Silva, the current man at Everton, who's on the verge of losing his job. He was at Watford, and the perhaps it was a bit of a distraction of the noise surrounding his potential entrance in to Everton. Do you think that there's any chance that Eddie Howe's becoming a little bit distracted by this chat, that the Everton job may well become available in the next week or so, and he would be near the top of that shortlist? So do you think there's any chance that Eddie Howe, kind of subconsciously, even if he doesn't deliberately think like this, maybe starting to think about the opportunities elsewhere?
I would say no, I think. I mean, he's been asked about it quite a lot in the last couple of weeks, understandably, amid speculation, especially around the Everton job and West Ham as well. And as you say, well, it was Tottenham too, and tentatively with Arsenal. But I think for him, he doesn't really concern himself with the media. He's very much involved in focusing on the day-to-day. His answers have become a little bit shorter, I think, on that front. He doesn't find them distracting, really. I think he said last week that, you know, it's the same when a player is linked. You sometimes see it's flattering, but at the same time, it's just noise. You can't focus on that. You have to focus on what you're doing and doing well. So in terms of a distraction, I don't think so. But whether he'd be linked, I think, well, absolutely. You know, I think he was a boyhood Everton fan himself, but whether that holds any currency, you know, he's always been a Bournemouth guy. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens with that. But there's always been that speculation with Eddie, you know, ever since promotion, really, where it's really sort of become stronger and stronger. But, yeah, I think in terms of being a distraction, he at least that's what he says outwardly. And from what I hear about him, he doesn't really concern himself with what's written in the media. He doesn't really read it himself. So his only interaction is with us in the press conference, and they tend to be nice and early on a Friday and done and out of the way. So, no, I wouldn't say it's overly a distraction for him. I mean, especially with the run of current form, I think that was his answer yesterday. You know, he said, I can't really talk about that sort of thing. You know, I had amid our current form, that wouldn't be fair. So that's sort of his mindset at the moment. But yeah, we'll see. I think it just depends what happens with Everton, especially.
There's also quite a bit of chat surrounding the future of Ryan Fraser, who's out of contract at the end of the season now. His form hasn't been as good this season as it was last season, where he was seemingly one of the kings of assists in the Premier League. Do you think it's growing more and more likely that he will leave, and therefore will Bournemouth look to cash in January if it seems like he isn't going to sign the new contract, rather than allow him to walk away on a free transfer next summer?
I think the reality is, I mean, he's not signing a contract, and there doesn't seem to be any movement towards there being a contract signed, so it looks like he may leave. I think Eddie Howe said most recent update that, you know, they want to try and keep him, they want to try and persuade him to stay. But, you know, that's you know, and he's keeping his options open, but you just don't know. And I think, especially in the modern game where you have a player whose contract is running out, if you can get some money on him, then you can't begrudge a club for doing that. I think it's one of those where the fact that there isn't, you know, any negotiations really. I mean, I think there would be an offer on the table, but it's just a case of restarting negotiations that were paused, I think, over a year ago, and that haven't really resumed since. And I think the club's stance at the moment, as far as I understand it, is that they're not looking to sell him, but circumstances can change, and we'll just see what happens in January. But there hasn't really been too much focus on the January business as yet. But the closer it comes, especially this month, then I'm sure we'll hear more about it, especially where Ryan will end up.
Bournemouth have kept just one clean sheet in 8 away league fixtures this season, Peter. I mean, we can talk about scoring goals and Bournemouth's capacity, and they do have plenty of attacking options. But when you're struggling to even hold out the opposition, it makes your job away from home, which is never easy in the Premier League. It just makes Bournemouth's job 10 times harder if they don't have the confidence. Is it a case of confidence is an issue away from home in the defence, or is there perhaps a wider problem in terms of the defensive structure at Bournemouth that is preventing them from keeping clean sheets and therefore making their job harder when it comes to playing away from home?
I think on the road, generally, Bournemouth haven't done so well. I think that's been an issue the last few seasons. They did start the season quite well. I think they went to Villa in the first game away from home and got a good win. But in terms of conceding goals as well, that's also been a general stereotype with the way Bournemouth play. They have conceded the most goals, I think, of any Premier League side over the past 5 years, which is quite impressive. Over 250 goals, if I remember rightly. So that's been something they've been working on, and it did feel like they'd made progress, especially in October. I mean, they went on a run of clean sheets against Watford, Newcastle, conceded one against Arsenal, kept United at bay. So there's definitely been progress on that front, absolutely. More recently, less so, I think. That's where it's become a concern, because while they did get those clean sheets, they weren't scoring goals, which they've always been known for, as you were saying. You know, they're synonymous with attacking football, counter-attacking football, exciting football, and scoring goals. And they haven't been doing that. So once you know, once you've lost that defensive solidity, then you're not scoring goals. That's where the issues lie. And I think that's where some of the positives were for Saturday, the fact that they did score. Harry Wilson's second goal was, I think it was the second goal in the last seven games, which is quite significant. They rely heavily on set pieces, so that's been one area of major concern. And you spoke about Ryan Fraser's not been informed, but neither has Callum Wilson. He hasn't scored for a while, so that's one area. And as you say, the sloppy goals seem to re-emerge against Tottenham and Wolves as well. There were mistakes in the defeat the week before that. So yeah, I mean, as it looks like it, the combination of the two and just finding, because they've shown this season that they can do it, they can be defensively solid, they can score goals, and it's just about knitting the two together. And Eddie said yesterday he wants to see a complete performance tonight, and they really do need it sooner rather than later.
In terms of the team news for tonight, Bournemouth are boosted by the return of both Simon Francis and Philip Billing from suspension, although the likes of Josh King might not be ready to come back from injury. One player that you would assume would come back into the Bournemouth starting 11 is Harry Wilson, who started on the bench, I believe, on the weekend against Tottenham, came off the bench and scored twice. He's been in fantastic form this season. Six goals so far, five of them have been away. Bournemouth fans must be pretty happy with how their loanee Harry Wilson is doing this season.
Yeah, and he scored important goals as well. I think when Harry Wilson first came into the team, he popped up with a couple of goals. There was that wonderful free kick against Manchester City, but he was also quite quiet in matches and didn't really stamp his authority, whereas of late we've seen a lot more from him. He's been a lot more influential. I think he was dropped for the Tottenham game because Arnaud Danjuma, who came off the bench against Wolves at half-time, was outstanding, like really, really impressive, and he was again on Saturday at Tottenham. So in that sense, it was a decision that made sense. But, you know, Harry Wilson's come on and changed the game, really. You know, he scored a free kick again. He pops up in the right place. He's got a knack for doing that, drifting in off that right side. And for Bournemouth fans, yeah, it's been fantastic, because without Ryan Fraser hitting the heights of last year, I mean, Fraser's numbers last year were incredible. Some of the best in Europe, really, and only in the Premier League were they matched or beaten by Eden Hazard. So having Harry Wilson step into that void, obviously David Brooks is still out and we don't know when he'll be back. Having him come in and do well is important, and you'd imagine that his cameo against Spurs will merit a start tonight.
And just finally then, Peter, looking at tonight's game away at Crystal Palace, never an easy game away at Selhurst Park. How do you see the game playing out?
No, not an easy game. I think Palace have come through a really tough run of fixtures themselves and aren't in the best form with that in mind. I think they have defensive issues, but I think from a Bournemouth perspective, it's just about getting the performance right and getting it right for 90 minutes. They can't really afford to drop points. I think the vulnerabilities in defence for Palace could help Bournemouth. But then again, Bournemouth have shown that they've still got their own defensive frailties. And with Wilfred Zaha back in form scoring goals, and Adam Smith, who came in at right back was part of a really stable back four, he was taken ill at the weekend and doesn't look like he'll be fit. So Jack Stacey's got to come in again, and he struggled a bit against Tottenham, against Dele Alli and Son Heung-min. So yeah, it's going to be a tough task. Bournemouth need to pick something up. Don't know if it'll be a high scoring game, especially in light of Palace's form and that of Bournemouth, but you never know. Maybe Amazon Prime will ignite some high scoring fixture like last season. I think it ended 5-3, didn't it, at the end of the season. So here's hoping for that anyway.
thank you very much for joining us this afternoon, Peter. That was Peter Rutzler, Bournemouth reporter for The Athletic. As he mentioned there, the game at the end of last season, 5-3. I think for the neutrals watching on Amazon Prime tonight, they wouldn't mind something similar to that. Bournemouth have been in a bit of a slump. They'll be hoping to get back to winning ways after three straight defeats tonight away at Selhurst Park as they take on Crystal Palace. If you want to get in touch with us, call us on 0208 70 20 558, or you can WhatsApp us on that very same number. We'll be back after this.
Love Sport.
This is the Premier League Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, up until 2 o'clock this afternoon. If you want to get in touch, make sure you call us on 0208 70 20 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp, so make sure you get in contact with us this afternoon. We were just talking about one of the two games tonight, which is at Selhurst Park, as Crystal Palace take on Bournemouth. The other game is up in the Northwest at Turf Moor, as Burnley host Manchester City. Manchester City looking back to get back to winning ways after drawing 2-2 at Newcastle. Burnley had a big shock at the weekend, losing 3-0, sorry, 2-0 at home against, losing 2-0 at home against Crystal Palace, which is a big shock. Many would have, especially in terms of my predictions, I'd predicted that Burnley would win 2-0 at home against Crystal Palace. So that certainly would have come as a surprise. So Burnley back in action tonight. They host Manchester City. And earlier on the Breakfast Show with Richard Lee and Patrick Christie's, they were joined by the former Burnley striker Andy Cook. And they started off by previewing tonight's game for Burnley at home against Manchester City.
John will be under no illusions. It's going to be a really difficult, tough test for them. I think, I've seen a couple of quotes that it takes an exceptional day from Burnley and a slightly off day from City. But, it just seems all or nothing really lately for Burnley. They're either in their last sort of eight games, they're either, winning the game and comfortably, or, they're losing the game. So there's no sort of in-between at the moment with their performances. But it's going to be a really difficult, big ask for them with City. City now have got a bounce back if they're in any idea of competing for the title. So they've got to get things right themselves. So if anything, there's probably more pressure on City to produce a decent performance than a Burnley side at the current stage of the season.
Yeah, it's a funny, you're right. The last four fixtures in particular, so lost 3-0, won 3-0, won 3-0, lost 2-0. And the last one in particular would have been really disappointing, especially after beating West Ham 3-0, beating Watford away 3-0. Crystal Palace at home, who always going to be a tough game, but to lose that game, I can imagine Sean would have been really disappointed with that.
I think so. And like I said, the way they outfought and competed with West Ham, and Watford, albeit struggling, they're fighting for them lives. There's no such thing as easy games. And to go there how they did and convincingly win and just put them to bed was, a really convincing performance and a great 3 points. But, to then go at home thinking, they're on the big roll, that's just sometimes how it plays out. You think you're going to go all in. Confidence is high, but a team like Palace, they just seem to be quite a sticking point with a lot of teams this year, and again their form's up and down, as a lot are this year. But he would have been really disappointed not to come away with a win.
Yeah, well, and of course, had they won, they'd have gone into fifth. So, I mean, it has been a positive start, hasn't it, on the whole for Burnley. What's the general feeling around Burnley, the job that Sean's doing? Of course, last season wasn't as successful as the season before, but did stay in the Premier League. And again, this season, what are the aspirations? Is it a top seven finish?
I think, all the time, I think they'll be striving for, they've experienced that European place and that experience, and just to compete and be as high as they can in that league is always an achievement. I mean, I think we talked last year obviously about how the European program really hampered the start of their season. They were playing massive catch up, and in the end they saw it over the line, where this year again they haven't had that inconvenience of an early start and a lot of travelling. It's been, so far a real successful season. The fact that you're competing for points with the likes of United, Arsenal, Spurs, and aiming, a win away from fifth is just, at this stage, I think there's a lot of good feeling. I think things are looking good. It is going to create interest. It's funny because I always seem to hear putting Sean's name forward for other clubs and stuff, but that currently what he's doing for Burnley is going to start raising awareness for what he is achieving at the club. And it's just interesting just to see how long he can, he will stay there before being, an extremely wanted man.
Just want to touch on a couple of the individuals. Of course, Wooden Barnes up front, a very good strike partnership. Also, just want to touch on the goalkeeper, who's been excellent this season, although it wasn't his best day the other day. Firstly, Wooden Barnes, as a strike partnership, I'm sure all Burnley fans are pretty happy with that.
Oh, massively. I mean, with what they, again, the way they play, in a very rigid 4-4-2, it's very organised. They are two lads that are, work hard, and they are a handful. We've touched on this before with, Barnes, he's back to goal and he is a handful. And then with Wood, just working off each other, it is a really good strike force that is difficult to mark and difficult to compete against. The set pieces, and this again could be key against City and stuff. That Burnley are so organised in the way they play, and if they're winning free kicks and you know, they've proved, in especially the, you know, the goals against Watford, etc., they are a massive force in, you know, in the opposition box with set pieces. And with Wood and Barnes around that area, you know, they're always a massive, massive threat.
That was the former Burnley striker Andy Cook, who joined Richard Lee and Patrick Christie's on The Breakfast Show. Remember, you can listen to Love Sport Breakfast every weekday morning between 6.30 and 10 a.m. They were looking ahead to Burnley against Manchester City at Turf Moor tonight. Interesting to read some of Pep Guardiola's comments in the Times today. Facing no corners against Burnley, the dream. Or talking about how much City perhaps struggle against sides that like pumping the ball into the box. Manchester City have very few players over the height of 6 foot. Rodri, along with John Stones, are the only available player who is over 6'1". So perhaps some problems there. And you'd imagine that Sean Dyche's side will play in the typical Burnley way. It was a surprise when Burnley lost 4-2 at home to Chelsea, that they suddenly adopted this different style where suddenly they had Tarkowski and me playing out from the back and trying an expansive style of play. And it just didn't suit Burnley. They got picked off by Chelsea on the counter-attack. They gave the ball away inside their own half. Christian Pulisic scored a hat-trick on that night, and it was very, very easy for Chelsea. I can't imagine Sean Dyche falling into that trap again allowing City to just press them high. I think Burnley will look to be resolute defensively. They'll look to be really well organised and look to pick City off on the counter-attack, but more so from set pieces. You think of Chris Wood and Ashley Barnes up top, but you're also thinking of Tarkowski and me at centre-back, that Burnley will have a lot more aerial dominance, a lot more aerial height than Manchester City will do. So they'll be looking to get corners, although Manchester City have only faced 36 corners. Well, the next lowest is Chelsea on 46. Aston Villa and Norwich right at the top on 113. So not easy to get corners against Manchester City. But that Burnley will be looking for set pieces from free kicks, from corners, and look to lump it. It won't necessarily be the most aesthetically pleasing performance by Burnley, but they will just look to frustrate. As I mentioned, City won 1-0 at Burnley last season. Sergio Aguero got the ball in by a matter of millimetres, and that was the difference on that day. So it won't be easy for Manchester City. And the last thing they will want is an aerial bombardment on their penalty area. And Burnley, I don't think, will look to complicate things. They would have learned from the mistakes they made against Chelsea, where they just got picked off left, right and centre trying to play out from the back. I think they will, I would assume, City will probably have about 80% possession and a lot of shots, but Burnley will just look to be really well organised defensively, look to pick them off and potentially take advantage of any set pieces that they can place into the City box, even from 50 yards. They'll probably try and play it into the penalty area. That's one of two games tonight. Turf Moor, Burnley against Manchester City. The other game is at Selhurst Park. That's a 7:30 kickoff at Selhurst Park between Crystal Palace and Bournemouth. At Turf Moor, it is a 8:15 kickoff, both on Amazon Prime. It'll be interesting to see how the next few nights go with all of the games available on Amazon Prime. You can watch whichever game you like.
This is Love Sport.